Syrinx!" He squirmed in agitation, colouring as the other boys launched into a flurry of catcalls. "Here," she said, and took off a slim silver necklace with an intricately carved pale jade stone the size of a grape. "Wear this. It'll be like I'm there with you, and next time I visit you, you can tell me all about it." "Right!" And he ran for the raft, splashing through the shallows as he fumbled to fasten the chain round his neck. "Don't forget, come back, you promised." "How far will he go?" she asked Simon, as a soaking fetus was hauled over the edge of the raft by a couple of his friends. "As far as he wishes." "And how long will it last?"
"As long as he wants."
"Daddy, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be flippant. Probably about 10 or 15 years. You see, even childhood will ultimately pale. Games that defy adults and friends that mean the whole world are all very well, but a major part of what a 10-year-old is the wish to be old. His actions are a shadow of what he sees as adult behavior. There is an old saying that the boy is the father of the man. So when he has had his fill of adventure and realizes he will never be that man, that he is a sterile child, his identity will fade out of the multiplicity into the overall personality. Like all of us will eventually, sly minx, even you."
"You mean he will lose hope?"
"No. Death is the loss of hope. Everything else is merely despair." The children were paddling now, getting the hang of the raft. Thetis was sitting at the front shouting orders in his element. He looked round, smiled, and waved. Syrinx raised a hand. "Adamists lose hope," she said. "The Dymastio's captain lost all hope. That's why he did what he did."
"Adamists are incomplete.
We know we will continue after the body dies. In some way, some fraction of us will linger for hundreds of millennia. For myself, I cannot even contemplate abandoning the multiplicity segment of the personality, not with you and my other children and grandchildren to watch over. Perhaps in 10 or 15 generations, when I can conjure up no sense of attachment, then I may seek full unity with a habitat personality and transfer my allegiance to all Edenists. But it will be a very long time."
"Adamists have their religions. I thought their gods gave them hope."
"They do, to the very devout, but consider the disadvantage under which the ordinary Adamist labours. The mythical kingdom, that is all their heaven can ever be, beyond ever knowing. In the end, such belief is very hard for poor sinful mortals to retain. Our afterlife, however, is tangible, real. For us it is not a question of faith, we have fact."
"Unless you are Thetis.
Even he survives. Some of him, a stunted existence, floating down a river that will never end. Loved, treasured, welcomed, eternal." The raft disappeared round a bend, a clump of willows blocking it from sight. High-pitched voices drifted through the air. Syrinx let her hand drop. "I will visit you again, big brother," she told the empty, gurgling stream. "Again and again. Every time I come back, I will make you look forward to my visits and the stories I will bring. I will give you something to hope for. Promise." In her room, she looked up at the darkened, indistinct landscape far above. The axial light tube had been reduced to a lunar presence masked by the evening's first rain clouds. Syrinx closed her mind to the other Edenists, closed it to the void hawks flying outside, closed it to the habitat personality. Only many remained, beloved who would understand, because they were one. Emerging from the jumble of doubt and misery was the tenuous wish that the Adamists were right after all, and there was such a thing as a god, and an afterlife, and souls. That way Thetis wouldn't be lost, not forever. It was such a tiny sliver of hope. Inone's thoughts rubbed against hers, soothing and sympathetic. "If there is a god, and if somewhere my brother's soul is intact, please look after him. He will be so alone."